There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
Let me hear you! Go in low! A one, a two, a three!
Welcome to In the Bullpen with Mark Dewey, sponsored by Developing Contenders Ministries. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for joining us.
And look who's coming up. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Major League Baseball is in the midst of 4 days of festivities in Texas. Saturday, we had the Futures game. The first-year player draft began last night and will continue through tomorrow. Tonight at 8 p.m. is the home run contest, and it all caps off with the All-Star game, which will be played tomorrow night, also at 8 p.m. In other words, during these 4 days, we're looking at current All-Stars as well as future All-Stars, both those who played in the Futures game and those being drafted. In this episode, we will also look at past All-Stars, in particular, center fielders. More specifically, those I had the privilege to be teammates with during my Major League Baseball career. First, we got to deal with something that seemingly has no relationship at all to what is happening in the Arlington area over these days. Now, on the one hand, In the Bullpen is an overtly political podcast because I have said numerous times Jesus is King, that Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is not a more overtly political statement that can be made than that one, nor is there a more true statement that can be made than that one. But on the other hand, In the Bullpen is not a political podcast. It's a baseball podcast. And in addition to that, part of the reason it's not political in that sense of the word is that I have very little respect or trust in the vast majority of our political leaders, and that's true regardless which side of the aisle they find themselves on. If you are listening to my voice right now, you are very well aware of the events from Saturday, not in Texas, but in Pennsylvania. Regardless of where you stand politically, of your love or hatred or apathy regarding Donald Trump, you should readily acknowledge that a seemingly random turn of the head and the matter of a bullet being centimeters away from its intended target did not happen by chance or fate. Donald Trump wasn't lucky. And the heroic man who died shielding his family wasn't unlucky. All that happened on Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania, was, like all else that takes place in and throughout all of creation, it was according to the kind providence of God. Now, as I was working through starting this podcast up and trying to figure out a name, a big reason why it was settled on to name this podcast In the Bullpen is because of all of the conversations that take place in the bullpen. And this podcast is a conversation. And so in these conversations, they would definitely have to do with baseball, with the game going on as we sat in the bullpen that day or night, with the game overall. But also we covered all sorts of topics for all sorts of reasons. And I remember back in 1996, we had a day game at Candlestick, and we're sitting in the bullpen. So it would be all of the relief pitchers, the bullpen coach, and then almost certainly a catcher in case somebody needed to get up. And I don't know how the conversation got started, but people were talking about things like luck and chance and fate, fortune, and those kind of things. And at some point in time in the conversation, somebody turned to me and asked my thoughts or my opinion on the matter. And I said, I do not believe in luck or fate or chance or fortune. And they said, what? Come on. You can't be serious. Well, this was the time in which getting a personal computer was coming into existence. For some of you that are young, that's hard for you to fathom. But we had our first computer at that time, big old desktop computer. So after that day game, I went home and I typed up and then printed out for each guy in the bullpen definitions of luck and chance and fortune and fate, and then of providence. And then I went back the next day. We had another day game. We played a lot of day games in San Francisco my last couple of years. And I went into the bullpen and handed out these sheets to each guy in the bullpen. Now, I don't recall what I used as my definition of providence on that day. But today, I'm going to use Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27. The question is this: what do you mean by the providence of God? And here's the answer. The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. All things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Now, right now, you may be thinking, oh, sure, as it regards what took place in Butler. Yeah, I can see that. But you also might be thinking, come on, dude. You mean that as it regards a game? You mean that as it regards something that is insignificant in the big scheme of things as it regards young men being drafted? You mean that as it regards who hits the most home runs tonight or whether the AL or NL wins a showcase game tomorrow night? I most certainly do, because it's not just the big things, it's herbs and grass. We are told in Scripture the very hairs on our head are numbered, and not a single one of them falls to the ground apart from our Father's will, that a sparrow does not fall from the sky apart from his will. I remember one time in spring training, one of the few times, because as a relief pitcher, I usually made the trips, but I didn't make the trip. We played on the road somewhere that day. I didn't make the trip, so I stayed back and I was working out, and I went out for a run. And as I was running all by myself, very quiet, most everybody else had left the complex, I jog and see down to my right a bird laying dead. And I remember thinking, it's the providence of God that that bird is right there dead. It's the providence of God that I'm here right now jogging. It's the providence of God that I've had the blessed opportunity to fulfill my dreams of playing Major League Baseball. So, the fatherly hand of God, his almighty and everywhere present power, was on display in Pennsylvania, and it is on display in Texas. Now, the draft began last night. The Cleveland Guardians had the first pick in the draft. It's a great place to be. They did their homework. I can guarantee this. I haven't talked to anybody with the Guardians, but I can guarantee this. They did their homework. They crunched the numbers. They looked at all the options before them, and having the number one pick, that means every option was available. I am very confident that it is highly likely that they argued among themselves as to who they should take with the number one pick. And then after that argument, they settled on who they would take with their number one pick. So in other words, the Guardians organization fulfilled their responsibility to make the right choice. And through it all, God sovereignly worked and providentially governed so that by his hand, this announcement was made.
With the first pick of the 2024 MLB draft, the Cleveland Guardians select Travis Bazana, a second baseman from Oregon State University.
So you heard Commissioner Rob Manfred saying that the man's name is Travis Bazana, that he attended college at Oregon State, and that he is a second baseman. He is the first second baseman ever chosen with a number one pick in draft history, which began, I think it was 66, it might have been 65. Something you didn't hear there is he's the first Australian ever chosen with a number one pick. Now, something we need to keep in mind is many of the people who have played professional baseball and Major League Baseball in Australia don't go through the draft or haven't gone through the draft. They were signed as free agents. Nonetheless, a wonderful thing. Now, I've been reading about this young man and about the possibility that he would indeed be the number one pick for several months. But I don't know a lot about Travis Bezzana. I know very little. But in the providence of God, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, I lead a Bible study on Zoom. And this study includes men from across our country, so from the east to the west, but also a man from the other side of the planet, a man who lives in Australia, a man who has been a guest not once but twice in the bullpen, David Nilsson. And even though 3 o'clock Eastern time on Monday afternoon works well for me, for Nilly, it's actually 5 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And yet Nilly is faithful to get up at 5 a.m. and join us for this study. And assuming that I will indeed see and talk to him today, I will definitely learn more about Travis Bezzana. Now, you heard what it sounded like in Arlington with Commissioner Rob Manfred. This is what it sounded like, however, where Travis was surrounded by family and friends.
With the first pick of the 2024 MLB draft, the Cleveland Guardians select Travis.
What a joyous occasion for this young man, for his family, you should have seen his father and mother, for his friends, and for his country. Whether or not he or they acknowledge it, I don't know. But gratitude is due to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, another first-round pick, he happened to be the seventh overall pick, the first-round pick of the St. Louis Cardinals, did very clearly acknowledge this to be true.
JJ, I want to say congratulations first and foremost. What did it feel like when you heard all these fans here screaming for you getting drafted and being in the building?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man, and it's an unbelievable experience. So I'm blessed to be here, and you know, the fans cheered for me, so I'm just super excited.
Talk to us a little bit about the player that the St. Louis Cardinals are getting right now.
They're getting a baller, man. I can do it all. I can do a little bit of everything, and, you know, I'm a learner, so I'm super excited to see what the Cardinals can do to make me a better player, and I'm just excited to be a Cardinal.
I know the family's here tonight. Obviously, it's not just your hard work, but a lot of support system around you. What does it feel like to have the support system here and behind your back all season long and throughout your life?
Yes, sir. It's unbelievable, man. I wouldn't be the person that I am today without the people that were around me and surrounded me, and especially the staff at West Virginia who made me the player I am today. It's just all thank you to them.
So you just heard from J.J. Weatherbolt. Again, the number seven overall pick, the first round pick of the Cardinals. He is a shortstop who went to West Virginia University. And what you heard was that he first and foremost acknowledged his gratitude to and for the one true God, and also for those people who were so instrumental in all of this coming about. He was thankful in prosperity. And the next question, after question 27 about the meaning of providence, question 28 asks, what advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence does still uphold all things? Here's the answer: that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. So J.J. Weatherbolt, thankful in prosperity. And he is going to deal with adversity. I don't care how good he is. And I pray that not only will he be thankful in prosperity, but he will be patient in adversity. You also heard this young man express both confidence and humility. to declare his eagerness and willingness to learn. Those are all very good things, indicating a very good pick by the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, all 30 teams, not just the Cardinals and the Indians, or excuse me, the Guardians, all 30 teams did all they could do to make the right choice in round one and round two, and for the remaining 18 rounds, they'll do the same thing. And in particular, as it regards round one, the most important round, undoubtedly some teams we will find in time did make the right choice, but others we will find in time made the wrong choice. We will see. So rounds one and two were last night. The draft continues today beginning at 2 p.m. for rounds 3 through 10. That'll wrap up before the home run derby. Then tomorrow, again at 2 p.m., the draft will conclude with rounds 11 through 20, and that will be finished before the game tomorrow night. So here's a question. Will any of this 2024 draft class be in the 2025 Major League Baseball All-Star Game? I will say it is highly improbable, highly unlikely. But of course, we know this, and we knew this a week ago. Paul Skeens, who was the first pick in the 2023 draft, is on the 2024 All-Star team. We knew that last week. Since then, we learned this. Not only is he on the team for the National League, he will be the starting pitcher for the National League in tomorrow's All-Star game. Last week, I talked about some people think it was right for him to be named to the All-Star team. Some people thought it was wrong. Now we have some people that think it's right that he's been announced as the starting pitcher, and other people think that it is wrong. That's debatable, obviously. But all of us, whether we think one or both were right or wrong, all of us should be looking forward to watching Paul Skeens tomorrow night. Now, I mentioned that we would speak about past All-Stars as well, in particular, the center fielders that I had the privilege of being teammates with in Major League Baseball. Before I get to center field, however, I've got to go back to the last position I discussed, which was left field. I obviously think I'm right with my number two pick. Nobody's going to argue with me over number one being Barry Bonds. But I chose Lonnie Smith as the number two. That is, the second best overall career of all of the left fielders that I played baseball with at the major league level. And there have been those who said, yep, I agree with you, dude. Lonnie Smith was the right choice. But a friend of mine said, in so many words, you are so wrong. And I said, okay, prove it. And then as he started to do so, he realized it wasn't quite as easy as he first thought. But he still ended up saying that I was wrong with number two. That the right pick for number two behind Barry Bonds should be Kevin Mitchell. And he made a lot of good points to back it up. Brought a lot of numbers into play. However, he's a Reds fan. So I have to deduct points from his argument just because of that. Not really. I'm still holding to number two, being Lonnie Smith. He argues Kevin Mitchell. Maybe you have a different argument. I don't know. But getting back to center field. I had the privilege of playing with guys that you are absolutely familiar with. Maybe none more than Deion Sanders. I also had the privilege of playing with guys that you are likely familiar with, like Darren Lewis, Marvin Bernard, and Ryan Thompson. Now, Ryan Thompson, you may recall, especially if you're a Mets fan or a Blue Jays fan, Ryan Thompson was the player to be named later in a trade that sent David Cone from the Mets and Jeff Kent came from the Blue Jays to the Mets, and then Ryan Thompson was the player to be named later. I also had the opportunity and privilege to play with some people that unless you're a huge baseball fan or a Mets fan or a Giants fan, you may not remember. With the Mets, both in AAA and in the big leagues, I played with Patrick Howell, a very good defensive center fielder, just really couldn't hit. In San Francisco, Dax Jones, and also the Flying Dutchman, Rickert Vanita. He may have been the first person born in the Netherlands to play Major League Baseball, but I could be mistaken about that, but I know he was one of a few. None of these men make my top three. Those who are in my top three all played in at least one All-Star game. And as I go through my order today, I may again be told by somebody I'm wrong. But of course, I think that my order is right. I was blessed both to play and coach with Howard Johnson. Played with Hojo in New York in 92, coached together in the Mets system in 2002, if I'm not mistaken. He had a 14-year Major League Baseball career. He won two World Series with the Tigers in 84, with the Mets in 86. He was a two-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger. Hojo is one of only four men in Major League Baseball history to have more than two 30-30 seasons, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. Bobby and Barry Bonds both did it five times. Alfonso Soriano, four times. Hojo, three times. A fabulous career. But he's not in my top two. And part of it is because though he played center field when I played with him, that wasn't his lifelong position. He played shortstop and third base as well, which just shows what kind of an athlete Hojo was. But my number two pick in center field is Brett Butler. 17-year Major League Baseball player, lifetime 290 batting average, 558 stolen bases. He was a master at bunting. He was a triples machine. Four times he led the league. And he was an All-Star in 1991, the year after I played with him, actually. But number one is Andy Van Slyke. 13 years in the big leagues. And remember, Andy started as a third baseman and became an outstanding center fielder. Lifetime 274, 164 home runs, 792 RBIs, 245 stolen bases. Two times he won Silver Slugger Award. Five times he won a Gold Glove Award, and three times he was an All-Star. So that's my order, and I'm sticking to it. And I am because I'm right. Do you think I'm wrong? If so, as I said to my friend about left field, prove it. Now, it's fun to debate right and wrong on issues like this. It's a moral imperative to know right and wrong as regards to things like an assassination attempt. And I trust that you and I both agree on this much. But what about how the game is played? I mean, really, whether a pitcher shoves his fake sword into his fake scabbard, or a hitter thinks he's a contestant on Dancing with the Stars when he hits a home run, and I'm sure both you and I can come up with even more examples of situations like this, but none of this really matters, does it? I mean, in the big picture, it doesn't matter, right? Wrong. But that's a conversation for another day. Join us next time for In the Bullpen on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for listening.